Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. The date today is the 9th of Rabiul Akhir, 1447. Alhamdulillah, this morning you woke up and every believer woke up and they practiced upon the Sunnah. They performed the Fajr Salah. Some even went to before that were up and they were performing the Hajjud. All of these great, beautiful bounties Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, and we must express great gratitude in this particular aspects and this particular aspect of Iman specifically. Yesterday we shared with our listeners the dua, Allahumma ma asbaha bi yimi ni'matin aw bi ahadin min khalqik faminka wahdak la sharika lak falaka alhamd wa lak ash-shukr. You saw it on the spiritual breakfast group. You sent certain people, asked it personally. We sent it to them personally. So all of this, alhamdulillah. Remember today, before I forget to remind you, between 8:30 and 9:00 today, we are going to have a program as we started last week, Thursday, between 8:30 and 9:00. It's named Path to Hajj and Nusuk Updates. So all that you need to know, last week we introduced Hafiz Umar Bahra. I just spoke to him. He's in Medina. He sent a message. In fact, yesterday, I don't want to exaggerate. He sent a message. And yes, we confirmed. And the rest, he's in Medina Munawwara. And he will be live with us here over the airwaves whilst we are in South Africa. So that program is to take place between 8:30 and 9:00. And it will be joined by Ahmed Jumai. It says Jumai. I don't know. I'm confused now. I know you get Ghair. What do they call it? Ghair Jumai. So something of that sort in Gujarati when you stay with the in-laws. The man stays with the in-laws and the rest. Just a point of note here I'll share with you. I recall my father shared this with me. And he was always of this as well. Like how you hear Mufti AK Saab mentions all the time, that you must, when you get married, have your own quarters. Not your own quarters, your own home, your own place. And see, especially in today's age, very seldomly will you find the best of the best. You never expected it. There's that rift between mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws. There's great hikmah in this. Illa mashallah, there's always exceptions to the ruling in the sense where there's a difference or there is people get along, or in the sense where another exception is where you have to, and a person has their mother living, and now of course that is a different situation. But opting or optionally, no, we will not advise this. And I just want you to listen to this from my own father's experience. He said when they got married, and he was always of the opinion, because I said, you know, when I got married, for me, I was in Darulum Zakaria, so it was my in-laws were just here in Lanesia and the rest. But he said, you have your own quarters, even if it is a one single bedroom. And then he said to me, my father is still living. Rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Plural. Rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayana saghira. So he said to me when he got married, they prepared for him a beautiful quarters, but it was still attached to the house. So somehow it was beautiful, everything. But he says, I contributed to the groceries. That's another thing. If you really in that dire need and there's no other option now, make sure, even if they say no, you make sure you contribute. Shall I say this as well? Even if you are a son, you are not married, but what it's like, they tell me themselves. They say that no. I say, why don't you get married? You're 25 now. They say, no, boarding, lodging, food, all of this is free. Whatever earnings I'm getting is for me. Now, if I get married, I have to deal with another person, responsibilities, food, this, that, the other. Whatever money is coming to me, I can purchase my new car, I can do so. Is this how you plan? Let me tell you something. As you get older, it becomes problematic. You don't have a family and you become much more lonelier. So, this is, if you're a son as well, contribute to the expenses of living with your parents, in that home of your parents. Don't just live for free. Contribute. Benefit them rather than they benefiting you all the time. Benefiting you, they're going to benefit you for life. That is, a person put this here. Now, I'm just going to share this with you. A person put this, I saw it just yesterday, a beautiful statement of a mother who is a mother. And what is a mother? Imagine Dean speaks so much of this. Dean stresses this so much to such extent. And it's just really amazing. So your mom is not your enemy. She may not always say things the way you want to hear them, but her heart is always in the right place. She's the one who worries when you're hurting, prays when you're lost, and stands by you even when the world doesn't. She's not trying to control you. She's trying to protect you. She may not be perfect, but she's the only woman in this world who truly wants best for you, even if it costs her everything. Beautiful statement. And I'll just try to get it and send it to whoever wants it. 084-786-3132. WhatsApps only. So I'm saying to you, sons, you working, contribute to it. Don't just do it for free, because you get into this comfortable room and space and you will never want to get out of it. And later in life, it will come and it will haunt you because you're being spoon-fed. You're being spoon-fed, and later you're not going to be able to deal with it. So get into this mode of contributing to the expenses of the house. You yourself, you know, so your parents won't accept it. They will never accept it. But you yourself, you see, how can I do something? And you make sure. I had a cousin, I'm going to mention his name, Fahim Sida. Marhum. We say, Rahmatullah Ali. He passed away as a young boy. He was 21 years of age. And he used to have this, you know, he was very brave and strong. And when he used to see us younger cousins, he would just sort of like mess with us and play with us and in a playing way bully us. So we used to try to hide from him, and just we knew we were going to be attacked or somehow he's going to lift us up and throw us. But he had that great love. A lot, if you see in his ways, it reminds you of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Braveness and the rest. And at the same time, I just wonder and ponder over this particular quality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like, when it was jihad time, he was ready, prepared, focused, enemies, we need to go, we need to mobilize, all of this. When it came to grandchildren, then you see a different side, totally soft, totally humble, comes to his spouses, totally humble, totally, every moment, putting the mood of that moment into the correct places. Something being done, a picture that is there with a face, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's in the hadith. We did it in Riyadh al-Salihin as well. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face color would change. You could be the daughter, and not just, it is the daughter, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. I mentioned this to you previously. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, you'll see the hadith. He was the one that was cooking. I'm not saying you women folk must use this and go and force your husbands now to cook. There's a wonderful article that's come out. It's done by Jamiatul Ulama KZN on cooking. When cooking, let me just check the name of it again. But when cooking stops, when cooking stops in the home, I'll send it to those who request it. And you'll see a beautiful article that's written there. So, Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu in this hadith, he's the one that is cooking. And they invited few people. Fatima radiallahu anha, of course, is there. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes. He stands at the frame of the door. And he just didn't enter. He saw an image. Nabi Kareem sallallahu, this hadith I remember clearly, we did it in Mishkat, and then just recently I checked it up again. Qari Rashid Dabeliya Hafidhullah, he taught us Mishkat, the second portion. Hazrat Mawlana Shabir Saluji Hafidhullah taught us the first portion. It's in two volumes. So the second portion has all this, you find this wonderful hadith, like you call it heart softeners. And in this you find all these ahadith. So here Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood by the frame of the door, but he didn't enter. After that he took a U-turn. He was going. Whose house? House of Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu, Zayda Fatima radiallahu anha. But still took a turn and started walking. Fatima radiallahu anha came running after him. Ya Rasulullah, what's happening? Why? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is why. See, this is why. She quickly went and she removed it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then came. This was the mindset of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. Allah ka hukam, la ta'ata li makhluqin fi ma'siyati al-khaliq. There is no worship, obedience to the creation of Allah at the expense of disobeying Allah. So he took a U-turn, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went. So this teaches us obedience to Allah and putting everything in its place. This is what I'm saying to you. That was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was saying we shifted, drifted from this year about my cousin Fahim Siddat. And he had this quality, like when he was with the old, he knew how to accommodate. He knew how to welcome them. He knew how to deal with them. His first salary he earned. And it was some security or something he had to do of the sort. He wasn't shy. He didn't have big degrees or anything. But this will always be remembered of him. When he received his first salary, he went straight to his daddy. This will be his daddy, which is my nani. Because it's my mamu's son. So it's his daddy, my granny. She passed away. We spoke about her so many times as well. And the lessons that she taught us. But he took his first salary and he went and he gave it to her. And he said, this is for you. He never say, okay, I'll just give a portion. He gave the entire salary. Here, you buy something with it. Amazing, amazing feat. Normally you have that extra softness with your nani. But here, you could just see this was a person who was different. He passed away just a few weeks ago. My other, you can say, far cousin. I said, you better take me here to Avalon Cemetery. I need to know where's all my family members buried. And I shared with you how we dealt with this here. I said, we just go to each qabr. We then find the coordinates. And today it's easy. You just go into that navigation system. Or you go into your WhatsApp. And you press you'll find it's like a paperclip there. You press it and you'll find location. And there you just locate it. So, and you pin it. So once it's there, And you send it to your family members so that the youth of today know. They know. Go and see certain qabrs there. It's totally sad. There's no name, no sign. Even it's become leveled as the ground now. You won't even say, there's just some sort of, but you don't know who's buried there. Some baby has passed away like this. No, we must take pride. And every person feels the next one is going to do it. No, I said to my far cousin that his name is Aslam Siddharth. And you, in our youth, I spent a lot of time with him. I said to him, you know, this is something that you are really doing that is amazing. You won't find many people. He's not so old. He's probably in his perhaps 40. And he's doing this. Alhamdulillah. Normally you find this in our senior generation, 60. They live up to this year. And especially with all the threats and the crime, and you just feel that, how do I go here? So he's living up to this. So we went to each qabr. Another woman who played a major role in my life personally, we used to call her Asima. And they showed me where she is buried. They showed me where she is buried. She had great love. It was just amazing. And I don't know how or why, but sometimes that love even went beyond. She used to tell me sometimes, okay, don't go madrasa today. You can come sleep in my room. And I was maybe like, you know, really small. So, and then she'll also spoil me. She'll give me a 10 rand or something of the sort. And to the extent that she used to spoil me so much, I used to come back from madrasa. She used to give me, that was just common, Mari biscuits and tea. So then my father used to get real upset, and I can understand why. Because with my children, you just know when they do not eat, and because they had something to eat before that, it becomes a great problem because they're supposed to be eating food. So the one day my father really got upset, and he just went and he took me and he said, you're not having this tea and Mari biscuits because you don't eat at night, you don't eat supper. So she couldn't speak English properly, so she said, she meant to say, you bad, but she said, you black. And like, just a twist of the tongue or something of that nature. And my father just said, he took it as a light moment and the rest. And I'm just saying, she played a great role in my life. Allah Azza wa Jal, forgive Allah, maghfir laha, warhamha, wasakinha, fil jannah. We make these du'as. Find out. The point of the method, the lesson is, go and find out where your grandparents are buried. Go and make a note of it. Share it with others. Encourage it. Because a time is going to come where nobody is going to carry on this legacy. And you won't know where whose qabr is. So take pride in these things. Anyway, so I shared this with a few members of the group as well. This is what we should be doing. I was saying to you, another qabr we went to then was my cousin Fahim Siddharth. And we just stood there. He showed me. Now, Aslam Siddharth told me this here. He said 1 week after Fahim Siddharth passed away, my mother and them are all Siddharths. So when 1 week after he passed away, Aslam Siddharth told me, he said to me that I had a dream. And Fahim was standing near by the qabr. And he asked me, why are you coming after so long? So he said, sorry, whatever it was. And he showed me in the dream this exact tree you are standing here. Because there's a tree just by his qabr. And he said, Aslam asked him, how is everything? He said, I love where I am. I love where I am. This was the answer he gave. You just don't know which quality is going to secure your freedom from the punishment in the qabr, from the punishment in the year after. You just don't know. Allah Azza wa Jal make it such that before, and you see there's a hadith in Bukhari, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالْخَوَاتِيمِ. Actions are judged according to its end. What was the end of it? That is why in Tabligh, they've got a beautiful usul. Check your intention before, during, and after. before, during, and after. All the time you must be, I'm sitting here speaking to you. What is my intention? During the program, what's my intention? At the end, what's my intention? Because ultimately, Allah's pleasure is what we should be searching for. And if we do not have Allah's pleasure, and it's just for to please your ears, then this becomes problematic. I will be destroyed. It will not have no spiritual effect on you. And that then becomes problematic for both of us. Allah grant us with sincereness. Hazrat Mulana Yunus Daya Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, we've got the recording also, 7 years you can spend in the path of Allah. But if you never spend time in the company of those who worked on themselves to remove the sin, to remove all of this sins, and having this mindset which is focused on Allah Azza wa Jal, where the sincereness is so solid, you can spend how long? And if you do not have this sincereness, then you can spend however much long you want. 7 years also, you won't get sincereness. You need to go and learn it from those who have it. Any quality I want, if I want to do, you know, our engineer here is a master with this graphics and that, the newsflash, he does it. So ask me to do it. I won't know where to start. Perhaps I'll find out. But how long will it take me just to learn to do it? It'll take me a while. If he teaches me, I can learn it in a much shorter period, isn't it? Yes, because he has experience. So, similarly, in every walk of life, why is it when we come to deen, we want sincereness, but we're not willing to go to those who have acquired sincereness? This is just something, by the way. So I was saying to you, these great, great, beautiful qualities, inculcate it in your life. You living with your parents, contribute to it. And I was saying about all of this, where we're speaking about Ghair Jamai. My father said we lived and they really spoiled us, and I contributed also, because that's what, look at Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam. He said, I will, that was the contract. So if you're living in that, you have to contribute. Because tomorrow, it must not be that you're a burden to people. Once you become a burden to people, then your life becomes a misery and you become humiliated. So don't become a misery to people or burden to people or misery to yourself. In fact, later in life, contribute and become active in this year. So my father said, we lived and alhamdulillah, it was nice. But we moved into a room. It was a one bedroom and just a small place. Allah Azza wa Jal reward. Go and listen to your parents. Each one of you go and learn about how they started off and all the rest. And then you will know and come to find out what sacrifices they gave and still giving till now. That is parents. You can never repay them. So, I'm saying this to you. When they moved into this house, it was a one bedroom. He said, I promise you, I felt like a king. I felt like a king. It was small, but it wasn't as done up as that place. But it was just a big, huge thrill that I could do now what I wanted to do. I never had to be bound by someone else. And he said this brought about great, great enjoyment. And that is why he advises others, make sure you live and you have your own quarters, even if it is a small bedroom. You will be living like a king. That was a side note which we shared with you. Allah Azza wa Jal, give us the ability to understand, practice. Youth today, we need to focus and see, gain back our Islamic identity and focus on the real issue. Currently, what's the real issue? All eyes is on the flotilla ships. You know, I heard yesterday Mandela, the son of, the grandson of Mandela, right? He was speaking, and what he said just really knocked me. I mean, there's no Muslims doing this. I'm not speaking of the flotilla. It sounds like some milkshake. I'm speaking about Muslims getting together. You will find men will say, let's go for Hajj. And they will start their journey from where to where. And they will go in. But it just struck me that here is a person who is not a Muslim. And he has concern for people of Gaza. And I myself, who is a Muslim, I haven't done anything of this nature. Yes, we speak, we report all these things. But actually having this concern that on the day of Qiyamah, if Allah Azza wa Jal has to ask me any question, did I do anything at this time? I know I did something of this nature. We've tried, we've did this, we've did. But how many Muslims, I'm speaking of, you see, at this current time, we need the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. We need the mercy of Allah. And if you're going to have any situation where it is now, means you're on the ship, you're going there, and you're going for a specific purpose. Allah Azza wa Jal give these people hidayat. Give them 100% Islam for their... Sometimes your intention is wrong. And Allah Azza wa Jal guides you to the correct intention. I told you when we went for 4 months how corrupt my intentions were. But they teach you then sincereness. They teach you because you then go meet the pious and the rest. Then they've got it. But still too, sincereness was not developed. And I won't say it's developed, but you have to keep on sitting in these people who are developed. Then you will gain this quality of sincereness. When we went, what was my intention? No, I'm studying human resources. This will be nice. I'll be mixing in different cultures, in different places, in going to eat different foods. And that's what I told my mother. It will be good for my what I'm studying at that time. And it was just, you know, I must also put on note here. When I went, my mother and my brother, both of them, Allah reward them. They took on this, if I'm not mistaken, to a certain degree, also my sister. They took on this responsibility of saying, okay, you're going. Your assignments, all my assignments, because I still registered for that semester. And they did my assignments for that semester. So when I came back, I just had to go write the exam. Because you can't, the exam you have to do. But they took it on themselves to do these assignments. And I promise you, they did a better job and I think they also enjoyed it. We must put on record. مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ Whoever doesn't thank the people does not thank Allah. Then you're not expressing gratitude to Allah. So, corrupt intentions. But when Allah is, you have a merciful sustainer like Allah. That first 3, 4 steps, 5 steps, 200 steps, however many, Allah Azza wa Jal counts every step. And He draws you closer and closer. But the fact remains, what has happened to you and I? That the non-Muslims of today feel it and taken it upon themselves to risk their lives. And they don't mind being detained. They don't mind what has happened to us. I'll share with you, it's here, we've got it here somewhere, where he speaks. And this is what like just wakes you up from your slumber. And you're wondering like how on earth can this be that my concern has become so of this nature? So, just see if I get it. Yes, it here.
Comrades and friends, this is Nkosi Sizwe Mvelile Mandela. one of the South African delegates from South Africa. We are seeing Israeli force ships that are coming on towards closer to our boat, and a possible interception. And we are calling on the entire global community to ensure that you exert pressure on your governments to call for our safe passage to Gaza if we are abducted and taken by the Israeli forces. We call on you to exert pressure on your government and to call for our immediate release.
So that is Nkosi Mandela. Perhaps Dawood knows him. Dawood, I will just ask Dawood to come in if you can come in. Dawood will not come in, he'll just run away. But anyway, Colombian President Gustavo Petro, he's announced the expulsion of all remaining Israeli diplomats following of the Gaza flotilla by the Israeli Navy. Petro's office, they said two Colombian nationals were among those on board the seized boats, and they demand their immediate release. The Colombians were engaged in humanitarian activities in solidarity with Palestine. This Petro wrote on his X, and he added that a free trade agreement with Israel was also being suspended. Now, juxtapose, look at the Arab nations, traitors. That's what someone put a beautiful post yesterday as well, expressing the true reality of these traitors. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Ghafoor, Ya Rahim. Remove these leaders, give them iman firstly, Ya Allah, if iman is not written out for them, expel them, remove them, because you, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika nastaghith. You are the owner of the entire universe. Yesterday we put it up, I forgot to share it with you on air. But if you're on the group, you've seen it, you've heard of it, or you've read it at least, and the verse was put there yesterday. The verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions and tells you exactly what is the reality. Because often we forget this. We forget that Allah is in full control. If you just go to quickly, if you've got wudu, go take your Quran Sharif, turn to chapter 24, that is Surah An-Nur, and go and look at verse 61. So this is it verse 61? Actually, it's the last verse of the Quran Sharif. Verse 64, Surah An-Nur. What does Allah tell you? So it's easy. Before Surah Al-Furqan, you've got Surah An-Nur. Surah An-Nur, chapter number 24, and verse 64. So the very last verse of the surah, Allah Azza wa Jal is telling you this year. Allah, listen, remember. Inna lillahi ma fis samawati wal ard. To Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth. Whatever there is in the heavens and the earth, this all belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. The earth and the heavens all belong to Allah. And whatever is in it belongs to Allah. And what does Allah say next? قَدْ يَعْلَمُ مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ. He knows the condition you are in. He knows the condition you are in. وَيَوْمَ يُرْجَعُونَ إِلَيْهِ فَيُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا. And the day on which they will be returned to him, O Israel, and you, the Hindufta clan, who is causing so much. I was just listening to a clip yesterday of Mulana Musa Lahir's, one of his programs yesterday, in Syria. He mentioned some ajib things. He said this one place he was going to, and they said, Sheikh, just come here, just come and meet this person here. So they went to meet him. And they threatened, there was few people staying in that house. So when at the time, now this person is explaining the whole incident, and you can see he's been really, really been abused by these thugs and terrorists. So he's explaining the whole incident. He said, we've got a basement. And when Assad, that time it was the regime of Assad, Bashar al-Assad. So when his men were coming in, we quickly ran underneath to the basement. And we thought they'll take what they want and they'll go away. Rather, they heard a voice or they heard some movement downstairs. So they came downstairs. A 90-year-old man, I recall specifically on the Tuesday night programs, Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Daya Rahimullah used to make at the end of the program, put the mic one side, make dua. After that, he would say, hey, and these dogs, and he would call this Bashar a dog. Yes. Because of these brood. Now listen to what he did. Then you'll understand why. Now these men said, you must proclaim that Assad is my Rabb, is your Rabb. Assad is your Lord. So what did he do? He said, Rabbi, Rabbi Allah. Rabbi, Rabbi Allah. My Rabb is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, you better say Assad is your Rabb. He said, Rabbi, Rabbi Allah. This sounds like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And they did what, how they abused him. They took him to the Sayyidina prison. They locked him up, imprisoned him. They put wires on his chest, connecting him to his brain, and did what terrorist attacks to him. Just because he proclaimed Allah is his sustainer. What a, look at this, Bashar al-Assad and his oppression. Now, when do you hear incidents like this? Another man, they went to visit. His fingers were cut off, all 10, for the similar reason. He didn't want to embrace what they say. He says, imagine in that state. He says, if someone can just help me to start something. I don't want donations, zakat, or I want something to sell. I can't remember the exact words. What he wanted to sell. But no fingers. I don't want donations. I don't want zakat. I just want to start my own business. You wonder. This is in Syria. And he was saying that there are many Ghazas in Syria, which we do not know about. There are many Ghazas in Syria which we do not know about. Allah Azza wa Jal, the people, the Iman, you've seen in over the past few weeks, they want to reinforce the music in the schools, curriculum and the rest, but they stood strong and they said no. They say 2 million people have become martyred in Syria under Bashar. They say, you take, this is where we started with this, drifting onto this particular topic. You take India's terrorist, the butcher of Gujarat, we can never forget, how he fled from South Africa overnight because they wanted to take him to task. They wanted to, our lawyers were busy on it and they were ready in the middle of the night. He's gone, Moody. And how strange, isn't it, O Ummah, when we meet with the locals of, we'll see if they got family in India and the rest. I asked one, you know, they own these fruit stores, and one of them asked, what do you think of Modi? He said, Modi is a very good person. What he's done for our family there in India, and he's a good person. I say, okay, so when he's killing our Muslims, you can still say he's a good person. Then I know I must just distance myself from you a little bit. Perhaps you are unaware. That's the truth. So Modi, whatever you want to say his name is, he is a pure terrorist, war criminal of Gujarat, is known as Butcher of Gujarat, in fact. How many masajid he put down? But we say, Pakistan, you're supposed to be a Muslim country. That's why you had this whole split. But then Islamabad, the Madani Masjid, was put down overnight by a minister who is part of the government, who is a Kuffar Shia. You want more details? Go listen to Hazrat Muhammad Shabir Saluji Hafidhullah's program there at the Wifaqul Ulama. He mentioned all these points. The recent, the last one, Dane Binoni, Mackenzie. Umar Farooq Masjid, was it? So this year, they say, if you take Bashar al-Assad and his crimes, and you compare to the butcher of Gujarat, this man has committed and perpetrated 100% more crimes upon Muslimin and oppression than Modi and what and them. This is a fact. I was listening to one podcast yesterday, and they were asking of all these questions. Strangely, they were also speaking about Yasir Qadhi. The person was speaking, we don't agree with everything with what he says. He doesn't believe in madhabs and all of this. He does believe the Hanafis have their, but he says at this particular time, you don't have to follow madhab, so that we reject of his. But the points we agree with, Yasir Qadhi, he said this man, he gives lectures, and the way he gives lectures, like he is a professional and a master in that particular field and topic. Whereas he's not. He writes one book on the Quran and he claims he's a master in that particular field. He says, beware of this individual. You cannot listen to him. Then he started speaking of this fact that when you hear what they have to say about Iran and the rest, then you come to know. So, and he gave a good example. He said, tomorrow, if India and Modi, whatever you want to call him, he starts and he says, you know what, the people of Gaza are suffering, I'm going to support them. How many of our Muslims will then change their opinion of Modi? But in India, he's killing our Muslimin and demolishing masajid. So we need to have limits and restrictions. Every person who is a supporter of Palestine cannot just be forgotten of their crimes upon the Muslimin. We cannot then change our opinion. So the Kuffar Shia also, but they still will remain with us. They are the Kuffar Shia. And we'll say that, Inna Allah la yu'ayyidu hadha deen. Allah Azza wa Jal will help this deen with fujar. Narration, it comes in Bukhari. So Allah Azza wa Jal will aid through Iran and the rest. But that aid doesn't mean that these people are walis or something. When you have 17,000 to 25,000 Jews in Iran, and you have over 100 synagogues, but not a single Sunni masjid. The challenge was given. We're still waiting. Is there anyone that can tell us? Rather, you have. What do you have? You see, this is how you corner the enemies. You honor the murderer of Sayyiduna. You honor the murderer of Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu. You built the shrine, Abu Lu'lu, and it is there, it exists. And for Jews, over 100 synagogues, you entertain these people. Well, wasn't it Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam who told us that it will be, how many of you people, 70,000 Jews will be following Dajjal. Dajjal will be followed by 70,000 Jews. And where will this be? It will be exactly in this particular place, Isfahan. يَتْبَعُ الدَّجَّالَ مِي يَهُودِي أَصْبَحَانْ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفًا عَلَيْهِمِ طَلَاسِيَّةِ Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam had mentioned this year. يَتْبَعُ الدَّجَّالَ مِنْ يَهُودِ أَصْبَحَانَ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفًا عَلَيْهِمُ الطَّيَالِسَةَ. Shias are they in Iran? And the Dajjal would be followed by 70,000 Jews. الطَّيَالِسَةَ, this means Persian shawls. And where will they come from? Isbahan. Asbahan comes in the narration. That's Asbahan, Asfahan. Like how you have Makkah, you have Bakkah. يَتْبَعُ الدَّجَّالَ مِي يَهُودِ أَسْبَحَانَ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفًا عَلَيْهِمُ الطَّيَالِسَةِ, wearing these Persian shawls. This narration is in Muslim, Hadith 2944. So, every person that becomes a supporter of Palestine, we have to also understand their agenda. My question still goes back before we go for the news. What has happened to mine and your iman? These people said, no, we can't sit still. They're risking their lives. Ya Allah, you give them iman. In return, in exchange, give these people iman. South America, you just have to wonder. Sometimes you feel Islam is going in this direction. Because the South American countries, they're taking a firm stance against Israel, risking so many things. You wonder, the Arabs are not doing it. وَيْلُ لِلْأَرَبِ, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, narration of Bukhari. Woe be to the Arabs.